B-Pod Studios.
Well, a good Monday, Philadelphia. Hope everybody's enjoying their extra day off on this Memorial Day Monday. Of course, make sure you remember what Memorial Day is actually all about. So everybody, enjoy your day off, but also have the thoughts in your back of your mind of everything that actually means when it comes to Memorial Day Monday. So enjoy your day off, and let's have some fun here today. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Mike Missinelli Show. Mike, Tyrone, Natalie, they will be all back tomorrow. So today you have me until 6 o'clock. Tyler Zuli producing the show. Jason and Patty, you just heard them. They're done for the day. They're going to enjoy the rest of their Monday. So here we go. Today I want to try to do a show that's all about positivity. And I kind of thought of this last night. I know Pat Egan was working yesterday, and I saw a tweet from the station. It was either a tweet from the station or it was from his account personally. I follow him. He does not follow me on Twitter. But it was about the worst things about Philadelphia sports right now. It is a violation. Come on, Pat. But it's the worst things about Philadelphia sports right now. And he said, you know, make sure you don't say that they're not playing, because obviously that's a cop-out answer. But he wanted to know the worst about Philadelphia sports right now. But so to me, I look at it, and I know it was such a stressful season with the Sixers. And if they do come back, I've talked about it at length with Anthony on the midday show. I keep on saying I don't see how they come back and win. Even with 2 months to try to figure it out, 2 months of tape study for Brett Brown, I don't see the Sixers winning. I don't feel good about it. But I'm not going to say that there's no way this team can't win in the future. I still see the bright futures for Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons has not yet hit his prime. Joel Embiid, I hope, has yet to hit his prime once he gets his body figured out and has his head on right and everything's, you know, remember, he talked about not having fun at points this year. Hopefully he has the correct mindset moving forward, and then he will hit his prime. Again, I hope he has yet to hit his prime. So you have Ben Simmons, you'll have Joel Embiid, and then you'll couple that with Tobias Harris and other players they move in to play alongside those guys. And I say, okay, with a new coach, with a little better roster construction, because you need a better bench, this Sixers team can make it and even win an NBA Finals at some point with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I look at the Phillies. The Phillies, again, stressful last year, but you had Gabe Kapler last season. I think you have a better manager in Joe Girardi. You now have two good starting pitchers instead of just one in Aaron Nola last year. You now have Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler. Your bullpen's still a mess. The guys that you depended on when you signed a guy like David Robertson, he's still hurt. Sir Anthony Dominguez, a guy that you depended on for the future of his career, who knows what he's all about, because he's having setbacks left and right with his elbow. So the bullpen's still a mess, but at least the starting pitchers got better. Your lineup's a little bit better, bringing guys like Didi Gregorius, Andrew McCutchen back from injury. I don't think the Phillies win anything this year, but I do believe that they have a young core in place with Bryce Harper, and if they extend JT Realmuto, and if Rhys Hoskins goes back to the Rhys Hoskins of 2 years ago, I'm not the biggest Hoskins guy. I've talked about wanting to trade him in the past, but if he can become a competent fifth hitter in the lineup, a guy like Pat Burrell, as I've mentioned in the past, now all of a sudden you have a good 3-4-5 in your order, or a 2-3-4, no matter where Joe Girardi puts these guys in Realmuto, Harper, and Hoskins. So you have a core in your lineup. You have some young guys coming up. You have, hopefully, Spencer Howard turns out to be something as a good number three starter and maybe can move up in that rotation. There's a lot of good things with the Phillies' future. You might hate Matt Klentak all you want, you know, Andy McPhail, all those guys. I get it. Feel free. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But when I try to look at the positive side of things, and I'm usually a guy who's pessimistic, but if I can look at the positive side of things, I think you can too. I can see the positive for the future with the Sixers, the future for the Phillies. The Eagles, I think they have a very good head coach in Doug Peterson. Jim Schwartz, I don't think, gets enough credit. I think the defense is better than what people give them to be because they have a great front four. And I think the secondary with Darius Slay, you're short up on one side. Hopefully you're good on the other. We'll see what guys like LeBlanc or Maddox or Sidney Jones, if he's one of the starters. We'll see what happens with them. But I think they're a little bit better this year, not to make a Super Bowl run, but again, future Philadelphia Eagles, the next 5 years, I think can get back to the Super Bowl. You look at the Flyers, they were the hottest team. They were probably one of the hottest teams in the NHL before the pandemic started and before the shutdown started. And even though I think the Flyers don't win a Stanley Cup this year, I mean, why can I say that? I can't say that. Who knows? Who knows? It was all so good for the Flyers. They were the hottest team going to the playoffs, and you know how the Stanley Cup playoffs work. Sometimes it's the hottest team that gets in and can win no matter what seed they're at. So I look at the Flyers. I look at the Phillies. I look at the Sixers. I look at the Eagles. All of those teams have bright futures, in my opinion. I don't think you have to blow up the Sixers. You're not trading Simmons or Embiid yet. You got to try a new coach first. And a new coach, hiring a new coach, is not blowing up the team. So I don't think you have to blow up the Sixers yet, as much as people like to say that. Obviously, the Flyers, this roster is the roster you have and should be the roster moving forward. You got to bring in role players here and there. But you have your young core with your veteran leadership and a guy like Claude Giroux. So you have a good core for the Flyers. Eagles, you still need work to do with the offense. There are going to be points coming up soon where you have to be concerned about the offensive line, the age that they're at. DeSean Jackson, the injuries that he has every single season. Last year, you barely had him. So there's still room to grow for all of these teams. None of these teams are perfect. None of these teams are close to winning a championship. By close, I mean getting to their conference championship or the National League Championship Series or anything like that, or the NFC Championship game. But I think they're just a few steps away. I still think that we are a few steps away from having an incredible decade here in 2020. So today, I want to have a show of positivity. We are so good at grousing in Philadelphia. We are. We're so good at complaining left and right about every single player, every single team, every single coach, GM, you name it. We are very good at grousing. And I'm one of those people too. I'm very good at it as well. I can bitch and moan as well as the next person. But I also want to take a step back on this day off, right? A lot of you not working, sitting at home, you're grilling, you're having beer, you're doing whatever, you're enjoying the day. Day with your family or friends, no matter what. Hopefully you're social distancing. But during this time, during this day off, I want people to have a positive outlook for Philadelphia. You can call in today and say there is nothing good about these teams. Or you can call in and say there's nothing good about the Sixers. Nothing good about the Phillies. Nothing good about the Eagles or Flyers, depending on your preference of bitching and moaning. But right now, I don't think there is that much to bitch and moan about. There are a lot of little things, but once you shore up those little things, and it may not be a month, it may take a year or two. But if I tell you right now in 2020, hey, you're not going to get a finals appearance until 2022, but once that happens, you're going to get 5 or 6 or 7. Before the decade ends, we're all going to be happy about it. We're all going to talk about how the 2020 decade was great. The Roaring 20s, as Anthony termed it. 2020 proclamation, as Mikey Mist termed it. Those two guys were ahead of it a couple of years ago. And you could see the build and see how it would get there. We saw the plan. The plans change left and right. It happens all the time. But you can see the young cores for each of the teams. The Eagles may be the only one that don't really have a core, but at least, in my opinion, they have the franchise quarterback that can win you games, get you to the playoffs, win games in the playoffs, and hopefully one day win a Super Bowl. This is a time where we can be positive. This is a time, yeah, you know what, the Sixers weren't good this year. They weren't. But I still don't think they're that far off. I think you bring in a new coach, you bring in a guy with a new plan, and you make it work with your two rising stars in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. So 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in today. I want you all to just take a step back and look at the overall picture of Philadelphia sports right now. I don't want to look at the negative side of things. I want to look at the positive side of things today. And when you really sit down and think about it, you're going to realize that it's not that bad. None of these teams are in the dumpster of their division. None of these teams are in the dumpster of their conference. None of these teams are in the dumpster of the league. We're out of the process days for the Sixers. The Phillies are going to win more games whenever there's a 162-game season again. The Eagles are always going to be competing in the next 5 years at least for the NFC East crown. And the Flyers, look at this. They're already fourth in the Eastern Conference, right? They're up there in the Metropolitan Division, and they're doing it with such young players that haven't even really figured out how to play in the league yet. They're still learning, and that's beautiful. So I want you guys to climb in 610-632-0975 and really look at the positive side of things in Philadelphia sports right now. So we're going to do that today, and I'll get Tyler Zuli's thoughts on it coming up. But there's some other things I want to get into. I want to have some fun with this, sticking with the positive nature of things right now. Yesterday, the match. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, teamed up with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. It was Manning and Woods. They won by one hole, or two holes, because they won in the 18th, over Phil and Tom Brady. And there were jokes flying left and right about how bad Tom Brady looked until he hit that birdie from the fairway, which was an incredible shot. There was jokes about their opening tee shots. Peyton Manning got lost in the woods. But then it ended up being okay golf. Right? Tiger Woods dazzled. Phil Mickelson played well. Tom Brady showed flashes. Peyton Manning played well. It was all around a great day. When I watched the first hole, I thought I was going to tune out. But then all of a sudden, I just kept watching, gave it a shot. It didn't help. It's not their fault that the weather was just awful. It sucked how bad that weather was yesterday. But they played through it. And I appreciate that they played through it. I'm sure everybody appreciates it. They raised $20 million yesterday. $20 million. Incredible. For COVID-19 relief. And I'm so appreciative of what they did yesterday. So I want to have some fun today. We can talk about that and talk about the good things that they did. But I want to have some fun and try to set up a second match. So here's what we're going to do. You still have Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. It's still those two legit PGA golfers. But I want to find out the other two golfers. I don't want to do who's that Mount Rushmore of golf? Who's the four people you'd want to see golf together? Or who's the foursome you'd want to be a part of? No, you still have Tiger. You still have Phil. Still playing a skins game. Still trying to raise money. But you need two other golfers. You need somebody to pair up with Tiger. And you need somebody to pair up with Phil. And I love the idea of having people from other sports. And having former rivals. Because in the heyday of the Manning-Brady rivalry, it was great. Manning with the Colts, Brady with the Patriots, Manning eventually going on to Denver and playing well against the Patriots in the playoffs. It was great to see that rivalry come together, play against each other once again. Different sport. But you also had the smack talk back and forth, and it was such entertainment. Not just the sport of golf itself, but also the way that they went back and forth at each other and making the jokes, and Peyton saying Nick Foles could be my caddy, or Tom Brady talking about the Eagles still haunting him. That was great yesterday. So let's try to figure out another match. Let's keep it with Tiger and Phil, but who are the two rivals that you'd want to see go up against each other in golf? And I have some great answers. I put out a tweet earlier this morning around 10:30, and there were some great responses, and I'll start reading them throughout the show. But I want to give an example just so that we all are on the same page. And this one to me was probably the winner. So I want to see if you guys can beat this one. But this was from Ryan Field on Twitter. You have Tiger, you have Phil. One of them gets Charles Barkley, the other gets Michael Jordan. Now you know you're going to get decent golf. Charles has the ugly swing, but at least he kind of knows how to play the sport of golf. Michael Jordan, we all know, if you watch The Last Dance, big golfer, and even if you didn't watch The Last Dance, you know he's a big golfer. And Charles and MJ, rivals on the basketball court. And also, Charles Barkley, during The Last Dance, mentioned he probably still won't ever find a way to get whatever their relationship is, whatever the beef was between the two of them. Charles is upset that they're never going to work out their relationship. I don't know what that is. But imagine them talking it through on the court, being asked about it, or on the golf course. But then also playing golf against one another and smack talking. We know how good of a smack talker Michael Jordan is. We know how good of a smack talker Charles Barkley is. So that was a great answer from Ryan Field on Twitter. So that's what I kind of want to go for. Get the other twosome, or get the pair for Tiger. Get the pair for Phil. Two players that are rivals, that played against each other in their respective sport, baseball, hockey, basketball, football, you name it. I have a lot of great answers on Twitter, but I want to hear them on the phones as well. 610-632-0975. It's the show of positivity. The good things that are in Philadelphia sports right now. Not the bad. The good things that are in Philadelphia sports right now that make you think, you know what? It's not so bad right now. The future is good for these teams once sports do return. Maybe not this year. Maybe not this calendar year. But this decade for sure. I think it's going to be a good decade for Philadelphia sports. 610-632-0975. I got a lot of other good stuff coming up on the show today. Again, I'm filling in for Mikey Miss. I'll be on until 6. It's a show all about positivity in a time where a lot of people are down, but I'm going to try to uplift, upbeat as much as I can, help you guys out, and help me out as well. We got to stick together during these times. I'm Andrew Salchunas. I'm going to take you until 6 o'clock. Tyler Zuli's thoughts on everything on the other side, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
218-97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas on this Memorial Day Monday, filling in for the Mike Missinelli Show. The gang will be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock, but today it's me and Tyler Zuli behind the glass, taking you until 6 o'clock. I hope everybody's enjoying their day off. I just want to keep on reiterating, make sure you actually remember what Memorial Day is all about, so take a second and, say a few prayers or thoughts or whatever you vibe with, just think about what it's actually all about. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in today. We're talking about nothing but positivity. At least I hope. I'm trying to make a positive outlook in Philadelphia sports. There are a lot of things that still need to be fixed, right? We look at the Phillies. They still need a good second half of the rotation. They have Aaron Nola, and hopefully a healthy Zach Wheeler. But then what, right? You have Jake Arrieta, who is on his last leg, I think. There's Zach Eflin, who I actually think could be a good number 4 or a good number 5 down the road. It's when he's the number 2 or the number 3 when you're in trouble. But when he's the 4 or the 5 in the rotation, you're going, all right, not too bad. The bullpen, still a lot of question marks. I think the bullpen is not good. I know they gave that bogus press conference last year after the season ended saying, oh, well, in the month of September, our bullpen actually wasn't that bad. They were, top 5 in ERA. Well, shut up. They weren't good, and they're still not good. When they go to the bullpen, when the starting pitcher comes out of the game in the 6th inning and it's a tie game, you're probably thinking, now, they're going to lose this game. But if you can bring in some bullpen arms, and you can do that via trade, you can do that via free agency, if you can do that, all of a sudden you shore that up a little bit with the better rotation that you have now and the better lineup that you have now, maybe the Phillies can do something this decade. The Eagles, not 100% finished product yet. Not that close, but still, you still have the franchise quarterback. That's the biggest thing. The defense to me is not bad. The offense, we'll see what Jalen Reagor does. We'll see what Andre Diller does. We'll see if the offensive line that is aging sort of holds up. I think they do. I think the Eagles can still win the division this year. There's all this talk about the Dallas Cowboys and the high power offense. Their defense stinks. So I still think the Eagles can compete for the division. Sixers, we know the story. They disappointed this year, but they have the talent. Maybe a new coach changes things. And the Flyers, everybody's sky high on the Flyers right now. So Tyler, we'll get to the poll in a second, which is on at 975 The Fanatic. But first, before we even get to the poll, I just want to get your outlook on Philadelphia sports. Is it overall, when you take a step back, is it overall positive or is it more so on the negative side of things?
So moving forward, I think it is more so positive because I look at, if I can get 50% or more of the teams that I think are at least trending upwards or staying, flat, staying parallel, I think right. That you come to that conclusion that they are. The Flyers are clearly on the up, and they're on the up quickly. I think the Phillies have to be on the up, despite the fact that I still don't believe they're all that good, but I think they're better than they were a year ago, even if it's just addition by subtraction.
Which
with
means
a new,
they improved.
Right, so they had to have gotten better. So that gives me 50% right there. I think the Sixers are still a good team. I don't know how long their window's open left, but they're still a good team. That keeps them at status quo.
Yep.
Eagles, I think, are on the downward trend, even
really?
with the franchise quarterback. I'm not thrilled with what they've done in the last couple of off seasons, and I don't think they've hit on the draft very well over the last 3 years. So for me, the Eagles are the only downward team, but that still gives me 75% staying status quo or better. I have to be positive out of it.
Wow, that's crazy. So you go arrow down.
I do. It's not like it's a plummeting down, you know,
right.
Like everything is free fall, but it's pointing down more so than it's pointing up.
It's teetering down
yeah.
for you. There's still things that I'm concerned about. You know, I mentioned the age of the offensive line. We'll see how that goes. Andre Diller, I think, is a good left tackle, but you hear all these reports about how he might not be that good, or maybe it's more so upstairs and he gets too emotional about things. We heard about the reports from him crying at practice and getting in fights left and right in practice. So we'll see. The wide receiver position, DeSean Jackson has to stay healthy. I'm not out on Jalen Reagor. I want to see what Jalen Reagor can do. People calling him a bust before he even steps on the field, I don't think it's fair. I mean, if Jalen Reagor goes out there and actually turns out to be a good deep threat for Carson Wentz, that only makes the offense better, because that was the biggest thing you missed last year. You still had an offense that won you games those last 4 weeks without a deep threat. And that was with no DeSean Jackson. That was with Nelson Agholor running downfield, even though he didn't play the last couple of weeks. If Jalen Reagor is a guy that can actually catch the ball and can go over the top of the defense on the opposing team, now all of a sudden you're saying, okay, that just opens more things up for Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert and Greg Ward or Thigel Whiteside if he's out there, all these guys. So I still see, I don't know where I'm at with the wide receivers. I'm not confident, but I'm not saying, oh my God, they're so bad just because I haven't seen Reagor play yet. I don't know.
I think that the core can't get any worse, and that's all you're hoping for, that even if it gets marginally better with health and with the addition of Reagor, I think that you can't get any worse, so everything is going to be trending in the right direction there. But I think a lot of the other things, you mentioned that offensive line is getting a little bit older. They're still talented, but older.
Yeah.
Offensive tackle's so hard to really judge for us regular, like, layman people that watch football. You have to play that position to be able to, like, you can break down receiver film. You can break down quarterback film. It's really difficult to break down tackle film if you've never played the position.
Right. I mean, I look at the game and I go, oh, Andre Diller's not getting beat here, so I guess he's doing a good job. But,
right.
You know, there's probably more to it where, you know, maybe he's getting some extra help and that opens up things for, you know, if they want to go A-gap or that kind of stuff. I don't know. But you're right. It's different when you're not actually in the trenches. So let's get to the Twitter poll, Tyler. And of course, the Twitter poll is brought to you by every single day, Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless. Pick up in Doylestown. No Natalie today, Tyler, so you are you're the polesman today.
Let's do it.
What do we got?
So your question today is, take a step back and look at the Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, and Eagles. When you look at the state of the teams in Philadelphia right now, is your outlook more positive or is it negative? So just about 130 votes so far as we just kick this thing off. You're going to like this one. 77% say positive, 23% say negative.
Well, that's good. I want to have a positive show today. And our first call, we're going to get to John in a second. He already says Philly stink. And you know what? There are things to be concerned about. I'm not saying that I'm going green colored goggles here and red for the Phillies, orange and black for the Flyers, you know, blue and white and red or whatever for the Sixers. I'm not trying to do that. I'm literally telling you that when I take a step back, I can see more positive things than negative. There are some pretty big negatives that could change my opinion. We'll see if things, the way things play out. But I go, okay, new coach for the Sixers, maybe I'm feeling a little bit better. Phillies, I got to see them play first. I got to see how this lineup turns out. I got to see how Joe Girardi handles things in a Phillies uniform, not in a Yankees uniform as manager. Flyers, we're feeling great about. Eagles, I'm still feeling okay. Not a Super Bowl champion, not a team that's going to get to the NFC Championship game, but a team that can get back to the playoffs, another offseason next year, and maybe all of a sudden they're closer. They're retooling, as Howie Roseman said. Do I agree with what he did in the draft? Hell no. I don't. I don't agree with the things that he did in the draft. But we'll see how this team plays out. I don't think they got better. I don't think they got worse. I think there's just status quo. And we'll see. 610-632-0975. Also, on the other, you know, the fun thing that we're trying to do today, the match that was just perfect yesterday, $20 million raised between Tiger and Peyton and Phil and Tom Brady. I want to make another match. We're going to keep Tiger and Phil, but who are the other two rivals from a respective sport that are going to be in it? Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan was a great answer tweeted in by Ryan Field. Now, Tyler, what would your answer be for the other two rivals from the same sport? A lot of people were tweeting in Michael Jordan and LeBron James. I don't know what you're getting or not getting. Technically, they're rivals because people say, oh, is this guy the best or is this guy the best? But I mean, like, when they were playing, guys that either hated each other or just went at it a lot, played each other, same division, same conference, you name it, saw each other in the playoffs a lot. Like, maybe Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas would be a great pairing. It always comes back to Michael Jordan. But who would your answer be for another pairing?
Yeah, the hypothetical one would be fun. You know, the Jordan-LeBron, it'd be fun to see, but it's hypothetical. For me, the one that I'd like to see, because I still think that there probably is some kind of unfinished business between these two, and I know they didn't play each other a ton, but they met in the World Series a couple of times, would be Roger Clemens and Mike Piazza.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because I think that there's a lot of unfinished business between the two after the bat throw.
Love the bat
and
throw.
Throwing at Piazza. There would be something there.
Yeah, you're probably... And I wonder if it would turn out to be not even as much fun, but like actual, like Peyton and Brady were, you know, throwing digs at each other, but having fun with it. I wonder if a group of Piazza and Clemens, when they're going at it, like they were in the World Series, like they did in baseball, they're on the golf course going at it. Maybe they're, it's more anger than joking around. So let's open up the phones. 610-632-0975. Again, I'm Andrew Salchunas. Tyler Zuli behind the glass. We're filling in for the Mike Missanelli show. They will be back tomorrow. 2 o'clock hours brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Coughlin. Attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location in North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. And let's go to John in Hazleton. John, good morning or good afternoon. It's a different show for me. How you doing, John?
Good, cuz. Or, Junis, how are you? See, it is a different show.
Yeah, exactly. I said good morning because I'm used to either doing Saturday mornings or if I fill in for Anthony, it's 10 a.m., but it's 2:30. I got to get used to that.
I hear you. Well, I'm going to be positive. I'm so glad that the Phillies have the Florida Marlins in their division, or else we'd be finishing in last place every year.
Yeah, even though they lost to the Marlins a lot last year, that drove me nuts.
Yes, I'm also being positive that Joe Girardi is going to turn this organization around somewhat. Middleton's going to say, you know what, we stink so bad with these players that Clintock gave him that I'm going to get rid of him and McPhail and give him some real people to work with. That's going to turn the Phillies around. Because you know what, Tunis? I'm also glad. I think we're moving in the right direction because what did we do? We hired the ex-Yankees director of what? Minor league scouting and minor leagues? So, hey, look how the Yankees have done. That guy was in that position for how many years? So things are definitely starting to look up for us with the Phillies, I think.
Yeah, I agree, John. Now, let's look at the actual play on the field. I mean, roster construction, there's still question marks. I've said it at length. I think the bullpen is just absolutely terrible. But at least you have two good starting pitchers in Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. Guys that, I don't know, are they an ace on a World Series team? Maybe we'll see. It depends on can Zach Wheeler take that next step forward in his career. I think eventually Wheeler could actually be the number one over Nola. We'll see. I mean, they both have great stuff. But you have two very good starters in Wheeler and Nola. The rest of the three, we'll see. It's a toss-up, but at least you have two and not one. And then the starting lineup, you know, McCutchen, we saw what happened once he went down. The injury was a huge hit for the Phillies.
Devastating.
So maybe now that he's back, and maybe now you don't have to move guys in the leadoff spot like Kingery or Harper or Hoskins, because Gabe Kapler did that, and it screwed them up, I think. We'll see. Maybe this works out for him.
You know what I think, Chumas? You might think I'm crazy. But Real Muto, if we do play this year, whatever happens, the way that it's set up, I think Real Muto will say, listen, I will sign a contract with you, Philadelphia. I don't think Klentak's going to have anything to say, but I think Middleton's going to be the guy right there like he was with Harper. I think he's going to be the guy commanding everything. And I think Real Muto's going to say, listen, get rid of Klentak, get rid of McPhail. We got a decent team here with Joe Girardi, because two catchers, you know, They're going to be like together, and he's going to say, "I'll sign with you as long as them two guys are out here and we start getting some players."
I don't think Real Muto will have that kind of pull, John. I appreciate the call. I don't think JT Real Muto, after 1.5 seasons with the Phillies, can say, "I'll resign if you get rid of Klentak and you get rid of McPhail." I don't think he's going to have that kind of pull, but the Real Muto thing is going to be very interesting. I think in the end they do bring him back, or I think he wants to come back. He wants a certain amount of money. And that's why they fought the way they did in arbitration. And you know, people always say, like, "Oh, don't you think that rubbed Real Muto the wrong way?" No, it happens throughout baseball all the time. Like, that teams go into that arbitration hearing all the time. And you know why? Because you can get JT Real Muto for less money for one more year before paying him a lot more when you do the contract extension. If he wins his arbitration hearing, he just gets more money. So if you're a business and you can fight to give somebody a little less money, but in the end you're going to sign them an extension, it happens all the time in baseball. And right now it's weird because there's no baseball being played because of the shutdown, because of the pandemic, and it's a weird situation, and we're all hoping things turn out good for JT Real Muto and the Phillies. I think eventually it does. I don't think they can screw this one up. I was saying this over the weekend on Saturday. I did a show on Saturday. I talked about the current rising stars. And Tyler, I want you to get your thoughts on this. The current rising stars in Philadelphia, obviously Carson Wentz for the Eagles, Bryce Harper, JT Real Muto for the Phillies, Aaron Nola for the Phillies. You look at the Flyers, it's guys like Ivan Provorov, Travis Konecny, who I think is going to be a very good player, Carter Hart. You look at the Sixers, you have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Of the names that I gave you, do you think any of those players down the road, if you look at them now, down the road, will they be considered the best at their position in Philadelphia? Not will Carson Wentz beat out Tom Brady, but will Carson Wentz one day be considered the best? Not considered, but it's a lock that he's the best quarterback in Eagles franchise history. Will Bryce Harper be called the best outfielder in Philly's franchise history? Will JT Real Muto, for me, if he has a career of 6 years, he is automatically the best catcher in Phillies franchise history, because no offense to Darren Dalton or Carlos Ruiz or Mike Lieberthal, who was here for, seemed like, 65 years. They never had a consistent all-star-like career where I think JT Real Muto could. So when you look at some of these players, don't you think that some of these guys, like a Wentz or like a Real Muto or a Harper, don't you think that they can eventually be considered the best at their position in Philadelphia sports history? Because I do.
Yeah, I think that you're going to get at least one of them. And my assumption would be, and you hit it right on the head, I think my assumption would be JT Real Muto, because of the less than stellar history of Philadelphia Phillies catchers. I mean, like you mentioned, Dutch was good, Lieberthal was good, Chooch was good. I think Real Muto could be great.
Yes.
And that really separates it. He would be one. The other one to me, and again, you know, it's really hard to live up to this expectation, but we've already kind of put the place on Carter Hart being the guy for a really, really long time. And if he is the guy for a really, really long time, 10, 12, 15 years, you'd have to assume if he's the guy, he's going to be considered the greatest goalie in Flyers history.
Yeah,
it's super premature, but
yeah,
just based on expectations.
You have Bernie and you have Ron Hextall too, right? So it's going to be tough to name him that. You know, I brought up Miles Sanders' name over the weekend. Not that I think he's going to be the greatest, but people think really highly of Miles Sanders. I think highly of Miles Sanders. I think he's going to be a very good football player in the NFL. But he also has to go up against LeSean McCoy and Brian Westbrook and Wilbert Montgomery. So it's going to be hard to consider him the greatest of all time. But when you look at just how bad the Phillies outfielders have been in the franchise's history, other than like Richie Ashburn, like, you've had good outfielders, but you haven't had superstar outfielders. To me, Bryce Harper it can already be on pace to being the best outfielder in Phillies franchise history. Like, he has a wide open path to get to that. Carson Wentz, if he wins two Super Bowls, he's automatically the best, because the only guy that has won a Super Bowl is a backup quarterback. Yeah, he's a starter in Chicago, but he was a backup quarterback here, Nick Foles. So Carson Wentz has the path. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, it'll be difficult. Joel Embiid will have to surpass Wilt Chamberlain. That's going to be a very hard task to do. But Ben Simmons, you looked at that ESPN starting five they put out. They had Iverson at the one, Hal Greer at the two. If you move Iverson to the two, Ben Simmons could probably get to the one, depending on his growth in the NBA and the trajectory of his career. So that's why I take a step back, and I'm doing this show of positivity, and I say, look, You have guys right now in this city that 10 years from now can be considered the greatest at their position in the history of one of these Philadelphia franchises. And that, to me, already is a win. That's why I go, I look at this next decade, or I look at least the near future, with a positive outlook. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Irv in the Northeast. Irv, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, okay. I want to make a quick comment about the Phillies. I want to see when it gets started how this lineup, okay, with the new manager,
yep,
how they're going to score runs. And I'm not talking about two or three runs. I'm talking about...
You want 7, 8, 9. You want the 2008 Phillies where they're putting up crooked numbers every night.
That's correct, where they scored in bunches two or three times a game, and that's how they took control. The biggest problem with the Phillies, they didn't address it this past year. Well, with this virus, they're going to have to do it over the winter. They need left-handed starting pitching, and they need one or two left-handed bullpen guys in the back of that pen. Other than that, the Eagles, since you're talking about all the sports that I like and that I go see, the biggest issue is the offensive line. They need to protect Wentz, and the linebackers are a big issue,
yep,
for this coming year. But I'm really calling you about the Sixers.
Uh-huh.
I was talking, I've been talking this for about a week now, and I know the Sixers are going to start practicing soon. And I think they really need to make some changes in the backcourt and the frontcourt. And I like Tobias Harris as a shooter. And I believe that he should be in the backcourt. And see, the situation is Ben Simmons, okay, he is a transition player. He'll get the rebound. Somebody gets the rebound, passes it in. Then he drives. He goes to the basket.
The Ben Simmons thing. Yeah, I mean, he was going to go on to this thing about not being able to play in the half court. It depends. It all depends. It depends on what Brett Brown does. If Al Horford had somewhat of a jump shot this year, you could play Embiid and Simmons down low at the same time, opposite sides of the block, running off ball screens, running pick and rolls, all kinds of stuff. It was Horford not really manning up to his contract that really screwed things up. It was not having J.J. Redick anymore that really messed things up, because that hurt the spacing of things. But when you have Ben Simmons, you got to find a way to make it work. And that's Brett Brown's job. And Brett Brown, there were times where it looked like they had no clue. But then there were times where it looked perfect. It was running a pick and roll with Ben Simmons as the big man, with Tobias Harris with the ball in his hands, or Josh Richardson with the ball in his hands. They made it work. Al Horford really kind of hurt the Sixers this year. That's the hot take. Two open lines, 610-632-0975. I want to do a show of positivity. If you have grouses with these teams, feel free. I'll try to talk you into a positive way. But if you have grouses with these teams, I want to dive into them. I want to try to figure out how these teams can fix them. And these grouses, these things where you're not really optimistic about, maybe they're not that big of fixes. The caller just brought up linebackers. Yes, the Eagles linebackers, not that great of a core. Not a great linebacker group. But at the same time, linebacker is not the same position as it was 20 years ago, 10 years ago. They undervalue linebacker, not just in Philadelphia, but a lot of teams. So when you say, oh, their linebackers are terrible, yeah, they're not that great. But, you know, well, they did have Malcolm Jenkins, which I'm still not happy about. But maybe it's something where that's not going to be so drastic where they can't win a game. This Memorial Day weekend's programming is brought to you by Dietz & Watson Premium Meats and Artisan Cheeses. We got two open lines, 610-632-0975, and I want to get some answers. Haven't gotten any of the phones, got a lot of great ones on Twitter that I will read coming up. But who's the other two golfers that you would want with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson? Let's set up another match. They raised $20 million last night. Amazing. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, same golfers, but who are the other two rivals from their respective sport that you'd want to see? I'm Andrew Salchunas, taking you till 6 right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
.247, 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew Salchunas taking you until 6 o'clock, filling in for the Mike Missanelli Show. Some more good answers coming in on Twitter. If you're just joining us, I'm trying to have some fun with planning another The Match based off of yesterday's golf outing between Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson. And quite frankly, I thought Tiger and Peyton Manning were going to... Did you watch it all yesterday?
I was in and out. I was here while it was going on. So
I thought they were going to run away with it because I go, all right, Tiger greater than Phil and Manning retired golf greater than Tom Brady while also still in the league golf. Great, right? Like I go, all right, this guy's retired and he's a former athlete, so you know he's going to be much better. And the opening tee shots for Brady and Manning were just awful. I go, oh man, this is how it's going to go. And it was raining. It was terrible. I felt so bad with the weather, but they still managed to raise $20 million, which is amazing. But Manning and Woods were up three after like five or six holes. And I go, all right, they're going to run away with this. They'll probably be up, you know, like six holes at the 12th hole, and they'll probably just end it because the rain's terrible and there's no way for them to come back at that point. But I'm surprised, you know, Phil and Brady, and it all started with Chuck talking smack to Tom Brady. Do you have that audio? So in case you missed it, Tom Brady was just playing awful golf. Awful. I think this was like the eighth hole. So his first seven holes were just terrible. It made you think, wow, I have zero football ability compared to Tom Brady, but I'm just as good of a golfer as Tom Brady. So I know that I could go on the golf course and feel like a human, just like Tom Brady, because Tom Brady looks human out on the golf course. So Charles Barkley is actually talking smack. On a previous hole, it was a par three, and he said if you landed on the green or even the fairway, Charles Barkley was going to donate $50,000 out of his own pocket to the relief fund that they were doing yesterday. And Brady hits it like 100 feet right. Like, it wasn't even close. So they're doing a lot of smack talk back and forth. And then Brady, he's the only one that's not close to the green. Right? Everybody's close to the green chipping for birdie. He's on the fairway. And this is his third shot already. Take a listen to the smack talk and then Brady just sinking the shot. And then the more back and forth between him and Charles.
Chuck, you got any swing tips for me? I'm struggling.
Hey, brother. Listen, I'm not that guy you need tips from. But I'm going to donate. No, you know what, Tom? Because you're my man. $50,000 if you hit the green.
Done. Chuck, you saved yourself $50,000.
Oof. You know, Tom, that was... I should have just said if you can just keep it on the planet.
Hey, when's football season start?
So that was some of the great stuff that was going on. And then he ends up hitting the shot for birdie, and it was just such an unreal shot that he made. The entire crew goes nuts, and Brooks Koepka actually said if you make at least a par in the front nine, he would donate $100,000, and he sinks that birdie. There was no other way he was going to make par. He sinks that birdie. Brooks Koepka ends up donating $100,000 of his own money. It was just great yesterday. So I'm having fun with that. I want to try to find the next pairing or the next two golfers that would pair up with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Same idea. It's got to be rivals. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were rivals during their times. And I'm getting great answers on Twitter, but I want to get some on the phones as well. 610-632-0975. And Crypto Savage tweets in Ken Griffey and Mark McGwire, or he goes McGwire or Bonds. I like the idea. I'd rather go McGwire Sosa because they had the single season home run chase. And here we are in a couple weeks, right? Or in June, I forget when it is. There's going to be a 30 for 30 on that chase, the home run chase between McGwire and Sosa. So a lot of good answers out there. Daniel tweets in Federer and Nadal. Now, that would be really cool. The amount of times you've seen those two guys square up, whether it was at Wimbledon or other incredible tennis tournaments, that's another great answer. Let's go back to the phones, talk to Charles in the Northeast. Charles, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Andrew?
What's up, Charles?
Andrew, that sounded pretty... Happy Memorial Day. That sounded pretty funny. I wish I had seen it yesterday, but I never caught it.
Oh, you missed it. Yeah, you should try to find a way. At least get the highlights. I mean, it was great because Charles Barkley was on the... He was on, like, the call with... I forget who the guy was doing the play-by-play or whatever, but Charles was just sort of there. They had him mic'd up. He wasn't golfing. He was the analyst, and... But they had them mic'd up so that they could hear Charles speak to them. So they were kind of interviewing them while they're on the golf cart or while they're waiting for their shots. And it was just great banter, great back and forth. Tiger and Phil were talking smack to each other. Peyton and Tom Brady were talking smack to one another. It was a lot of fun. The golf was actually not that bad after the rain settled down. So it was, in the end, a great couple of hours to kill with nothing else going on, and it was all for a good fun, too.
I'll have to catch it on YouTube or whatever, Andrew. And Barkley was one of the most underrated players I ever saw, by the way. In person, it was a treat to watch Charles Barkley in person, Andrew. Now, let me say a couple things. I'll get to at the end about Harper and Wentz, but real quick, we sort of agree and disagree on the Phillies and Eagles, Andrew, in that I agree neither one of them are going to be world championship teams. But I think they're both definitely playoff teams. I think the Phillies, 162-game season, would win like 85, 86 games. But I think in the shortened season, because of the top two and Nolan and Wheeler, the sky's the limit in that lineup. The Eagles, I don't got the Eagles going to the Super Bowl either. But I'll tell you this. I think people underrated them. I think they've improved that much on the defensive line. They already got a great offensive line. You add Darius Slay. I think the Eagles are going to get after the quarterback. I got them 11-5. I got them losing in the championship game against San Fran. But that's because I think San Fran's that good, and I think it's going to be in San Fran. I think San Fran's going to win 12, 13 games. But I think the Eagles are going to be a really good team this year. Now, as for Wentz and Harper, I think Harper can definitely become the greatest outfielder. I think he will in Phillies history. He might already be.
Right, I mean, right now you have Richie Ashburn, and that's about it. Like, you've had good outfielders in Phillies history, but you've never had, like, the legit star outfielder.
Yeah, Harper's number one for me now. I don't think Harper would be number one overall players. I don't think anybody's going to be able to surpass Schmidt. As for Wentz, I think Wentz is definitely going to overtake McNabb. I think Wentz is going to be a top five quarterback for the next 7 years in the league at least. So I think Wentz is going to become the greatest quarterback ever. I don't think he'll become the greatest Eagle ever.
No.
That's going to be pretty hard to overtake legends like Benarik and Reggie White and guys like that. But he doesn't become the greatest quarterback. As for the Sixers, no guy is good at it. You know, I'm an Embiid and Simmons fan.
Yeah.
I support these guys, and I think people will bury them wrong, but neither one of them could ever get on the level of Wilt. To me, Wilt's the greatest NBA player who ever lived, and if people say he only won two titles, that's ridiculous. He's the greatest player ever. He went against Bill Russell, who had seven Hall of Famers with him, and Wilt had one most of the time. That's why Bill Russell has all them championships.
Right.
But to me, Wilt gets underrated in the pantheon because a lot of people didn't see him, including myself. But, Andrew, you look at the sheer numbers alone, they're mind-boggling.
Oh, yeah, averaging 20-plus rebounds over a season averaging like 40, 50 points a game. Yeah,
it's
incredible. Mind-boggling,
Andrew. He's the greatest, to me, he's not only the greatest basketball player who ever lived, he's the greatest athlete who ever lived. Because he played other sports, too, by the way. Could still, even in his 50s, could still press near 500 pounds. So, to me, and what team am I missing here? As for the Flyers... To me, the greatest flyer of all time is Bobby Clark, and I don't think anybody will ever surpass Bobby Clark.
Right, and Charles, I appreciate the call, man. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. What I'm trying to do is focus on the position that they play. I'm not saying, will Carson Wentz be the greatest Eagle of all time? Will he be the greatest quarterback in Eagles franchise history? Very possible. If he stays healthy, and if they give him some weapons, I mean, right now, the guys that he has to beat out are Donovan McNabb, who I still think is the best quarterback in Eagles franchise history, with the, you know, look at the numbers that he's put up, but he never won. Nick Foles, but Nick Foles is more so because of the Super Bowl, not so much the 27-2. It was mainly just because he won a Super Bowl. And, you know, no offense to guys like Ron Jaworski or Randall Cunningham, but I think Carson Wentz, you know, just goes right past those guys. Already has, numbers-wise. So, Carson Wentz, I'm trying to focus on the specific positions. Like, will Bryce Harper be the best outfielder in Philly's franchise history? It's possible. Wentz, best quarterback in Eagles franchise history? It's possible. Carter Hart, goaltender, is going to be tough because he had Bernie Perrault, you had Ron Hextall, but he could be in the conversation the way everybody talks about him and how great this kid's going to be or supposed to be. So we'll see. I mean, that's why I'm trying to have this positive outlook show. So we have 25 minutes of commercial-free radio coming up, and we have a couple open lines. The number is 610-632-0975. And thanks to Philly Bry on Twitter. Trevor Immelman was the play-by-play guy. Justin Thomas was going around hole-to-hole interviewing, you know, the golfers and giving the green reads and all that kind of stuff. So those were the guys on the call yesterday. But we'll update the Twitter poll coming up. And I'm trying to make it a positive outlook for Philadelphia sports. I'm trying to help you. If you think that everything's negative, talk to me. 610-632-0975. If you think everything's gravy like me, you know, not everything, but at least there's a lot of good stuff. Let's try to point out the good stuff in Philadelphia sports right now and how bright the future actually is. It's more bright than dark, in my opinion, for all four teams. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and I'm taking you until 6 o'clock, filling in for the Mike Missinelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.